Ken Ham is a synonymous name with creation, Young Earth, the Creation Museum just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. And he's our special guest here today on Prophecy Today. Ken, you have a Creation Museum, as I just mentioned. Now, the scientific world would basically go against everything that you put forth at that Creation Museum, and in fact, against your philosophy of life and how it came into existence. Does that bother you, that the scientific world has this opposition to you and your understanding of what God's Word has to say?
Well, it depends what you mean by scientific world. You know, because most people, when they think of science or scientific, are thinking of, you know, our technology, the wonderful inventions we have, like our computers or jet airplanes or whatever. But you see, first of all, I tell people there's a difference between observational science, which is science based upon the repeatable test. You observe things in the present, like, you know, the elements of the earth, and we can experiment with them and repeat our observations, and that way we can build our technology. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, we all agree on that. So we're not against science. We love science. But when it's talking about the past, when you're talking about the past, you see the word science means knowledge. So there's knowledge gained by observation, there's knowledge concerning the past, concerning history. That's called historical science, and that's where the disagreement really lies. So we don't disagree with science. It's the historical science in the Bible, the what it says concerning origins, and what the secularists are saying about evolution and millions of years. That's where the difference lies. So, you know, when people accuse us of being unscientific and so on, we're certainly not. And so we have to help people understand that. And what the Creation Museum really is, it's a walk through the Bible. It's a walk through Genesis to Revelation, and particular emphasis, of course, on the first 11 chapters of the Bible, on creation, the entrance of sin and death, corruption, catastrophe, the flood of Noah's day, and confusion, the Tower of Babel. And what we're showing people is that observational science, real science in the present, actually confirms the Bible's account of history, that there's only one race of people. We all go back to Adam and Eve, that God made distinct kinds of animals and plants, and that God created as the Bible said, and so on. And so I just want people to understand that we love science. It's just we disagree with the secularists and their beliefs about the past.
When you said just a moment ago that science has to have millions and millions of years, you say that this is a young earth, maybe 6 to 10,000 years old. How do you come to the conclusion this is a young earth? How would you explain that to somebody who may disagree with you?
You know, I remember once when a secular reporter said to me, "How old is the earth?" And I said, "Well, the only way you'd know if someone was there to see it happen who revealed it to us." He said, "But how old do you say the earth is?" I say, "Well, I wasn't there, so for myself, I can't say that, you know, I was there and know when it started, but I do know the word of one who was there, who knows everything, who told me when it started. I have God's word." And he said he created in 6 days, and Adam was made on day six, and then when people lived and when they died and so on. And when you add up all those dates in the Bible, it only comes to about 6,000 years. So I would say the whole universe, the earth, is about 6,000 years old. Now, that sounds very different to the millions of years. People today say, but science says the earth is millions of years old. Actually, science doesn't say anything. It's scientists who say something. And they say, well, what about all the scientists who say millions of years? Well, where'd they get that from? Where'd they get their millions and billions of years from? You don't go out and dig up a rock with a label on saying, "Hi, I'm 65 million years old," or something like that. You go out and you dig up rocks that are in the present. You dig up fossil layers that are in the present. Now, scientists use certain sort of dating method in regard to trying to age date something. And so they'll say, well, here's a rock, and using, for instance, radiometric dating, we can establish that this is so many millions or billions of years old. But wait a minute, how do they know that? Every dating method has fallible assumptions. They're not absolute. And in fact, there are hundreds and hundreds of dating methods you can use to age date things on this earth. 90% of them contradict billions of years. 90% contradict billions of years. And in fact, the overwhelming evidence confirms that the earth is young, not millions of years old. And, you know, we can see that layers form quickly. Fossilization is a process that can happen quickly. Petrification is a process that can happen quickly. Canyons can be formed quickly, and so on. And, of course, as a Christian, if you believe in millions of years, in the fossil record, said to be millions of years old, you've got evidence of diseases like brain tumors and cancer in bones of animals. How could that exist before God said everything was very good? You've got evidence of animals eating each other, bones in their stomachs, but the Bible says originally they were vegetarian. You got thorns in the fossil record said to be hundreds of millions of years old, but the Bible says thorns came after the curse. So from a biblical perspective, you can't fit millions of years into the Bible.
Is it because of the fact that these who are Christians and say that there are millions of years involved in the bringing into existence everything we see in our world today, is it because of the fact that they do not take Genesis chapter 1, which is the record, the one who was there gave it to Moses to write it down, of how creation did take place? Is it because they don't take that first chapter of Genesis literally, that they come up with these thousands and millions and billions of years?
Well, if you just take Genesis as written, you don't get millions of years. You can't show me anywhere in the Bible where it talks about millions and billions of years. And when you look at the first chapter of Genesis, where it talks about the 6 days of creation, people say, oh, well, the word day there doesn't mean an ordinary day. Actually, the word day can have a number of different meanings. It can mean time. It can mean the daylight portion of a day. Like, you know, I might say to you, I'm here being interviewed during the day. One day, I might come back and be interviewed again. That means some time. And if we said, well, maybe would you do another interview in 3 days, you mean 3 24-hour days. See, the English word day has a number of meanings. It's context that determines meaning. And the Hebrew word for day, yom, has a number of different meanings also, and it really depends upon context. And here's the thing that we need to understand. Whenever the Hebrew word for day, the word yom, is used with a number, or used with evening, or used with morning, or used with the word night, it always means an ordinary day. And in Genesis 1, do you know what you've got? You've got evening, morning, number, and night for the first day of creation. Then you've got evening, morning, number for each of the other 5 days of creation. So all 6 days of creation are all in the context of 6 ordinary days. You do not get millions of years from the scripture. And the reason that many Christians think that those days aren't ordinary days is because they're doing exactly what you said in your question. They're trying to fit millions of years into the Bible. Millions of years doesn't fit into the Bible. You can't do it. To do so is to undermine biblical authority, and it's to blame God for death and suffering. The Bible makes it clear it's sin that's responsible for death and suffering. Sin and death go together. Sin is responsible for death and disease. Whereas if you believe in millions of years, you got all this death and disease, supposedly millions of years before man. Doesn't fit.
You know what's amazing to me, Ken? So many pastors, many of them are into this old earth theory that it does take millions of years to bring everything into existence.
Well, you know, we need to understand something. The age of the earth is not a salvation issue. I mean, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It doesn't say if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in a young earth in 6 literal days, you'll be saved. Faith is conditioned upon, salvation is conditioned upon faith in Christ, not what you believe about the age of the earth. And then people will say to me, so you agree, you can believe in millions of years and still be a Christian. There are many people who are Christians who believe in millions of years. So then they say, see, it doesn't matter. But here's where it really comes down to the bottom line. It does matter. It matters because it's an issue of authority. You see, the thing is this, if we were to read about the resurrection in Scripture, we wouldn't say, now, wait a minute, because secular scientists say a man can't rise from the dead, we better reinterpret the resurrection, or we better reinterpret the virgin birth, because they say you can't have a virgin birth in humans. We would say, no, the Bible says, it's very clear. And we would go through Scripture and say, Jesus walked on water, the Bible says. A man was swallowed by a fish and lived in a fish for 3 days. His name was Jonah. We believe that. Why? Because the Bible says. Then we go all through Scripture and we would say that. But when it comes to Genesis 1 to 11, and we say, well, the Bible says God created in 6 days, the Bible says God made man from dust and God made woman from his side. The Bible says there's a global flood. You know what we hear today? Oh no, that can't be true. Oh no, because of the millions of years, because of the Big Bang. No, maybe God used the Big Bang. Maybe God used evolution. No, maybe there wasn't a literal Adam and Eve. No, maybe it was millions and billions of years because of what's being set out here in the world. And you see, what's happening is this. We're not taking God at his word. We're taking man's ideas, reinterpreting the word of God, forcing it on the word of God. And what that's doing is unlocking a door to tell the next generation, you don't need to take God's word as written. You can take man's ideas outside of here and you can add them to the Bible. It's unlocked a door. It puts them on that slippery slide of unbelief. 2/3 of young people in America are walking away from the church by the time they reach college age. And I believe a lot of it is related to the fact that they're beginning to doubt the Bible at a young age, and the teaching of evolution millions of years has had a lot to do with that doubt. And we've actually done the research to show that as well, published in a book called Already Gone. And as they start to doubt, eventually it leads to unbelief. In fact, in the Bible, Paul has a warning for us in 2 Corinthians 11:3. To paraphrase it, he says, Satan is going to use the same method on us as he did on Eve to get us to a position of not believing the word of God. Well, what was the method he used on Eve? Well, Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, did God really say? It was to create doubt in regard to the word of God, and that doubt leads to unbelief. Millions of years is not a salvation issue, but it is an authority issue. Who's the authority, man or God? And when you're telling the next generation, you don't have to take God's word as written. You can take ideas outside the Bible and reinterpret the Bible. You've unlocked a door to create that doubt that leads to unbelief. That's what the bottom line issue is all about.
I'm a prophecy teacher, travel this world teaching Bible prophecy. And I say almost every time I am speaking to anybody, the first 11 or 12 chapters of the book of Genesis are key to understand the end times and Bible prophecy and what it teaches about what God's plan for the end is. Now, you said a moment ago, Genesis 1 to 12 is key as it relates to creation as well and all that God is doing. So the Alpha and the Omega are what God has laid out in his word in a literal statement to us. And based upon that, then you would say, this study of Genesis 1 through 12 and its literal interpretation is key for all of our understanding of what God has done, is doing, and will do in the future, would you not?
Well, think about this. Genesis, the first chapters of Genesis are foundational to all doctrine. I mean, why do we believe marriage is a man and a woman? Genesis chapter 1 to 11. Why do we wear clothes? Well, it's in Genesis. Why is there sin in the world? Well, it goes back to Genesis. Why do we die? Well, it goes back to Genesis. Why do we need a new heavens and a new earth? Well, it goes back to Genesis. See, Genesis is a unique book, and the first 11 chapters in particular are foundational to the whole of the rest of the Bible. For instance, why do we need a new heavens and a new earth? Why is there prophecy concerning what's going to happen in the future? It's because of what happened in Genesis. You know, Genesis is foundational to the whole of the rest of the Bible. It's foundational to the gospel. Why is Jesus called the last Adam? He takes the place of the first Adam. It's all related. Through the first Adam, his sin brought death to us. And the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, who stepped into history to be one of us, our relative, to die on a cross so that through his death and the resurrection, it would bring life. He takes the place of the first Adam. So you see, it's all connected. And you know, you think about it, people often say, oh, Genesis is not important as long as you tell people the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? You know, people say, good news, Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead. Why did he die? Why has that got anything to do with us? Well, because death came because of sin. Where did that come from? Well, it's in Genesis. Why are we sinners anyway? Well, it's in Genesis. How do we know we're all sinners? We're all descendants of one man. How do we know that? Well, because of the history that starts right there in Genesis. You see, Genesis is foundational to the whole of the rest of the Bible. And that's one of the important things that that we need to understand. Every doctrine ultimately has its foundation in the book of Genesis. If you don't believe in Genesis' literal history, you have no foundation for any doctrine.
Ken, thank you so very much for taking a moment to interact with us here on Prophecy Today. Appreciate it, and may God continue to bless you in your ministry.
Hey, thank you. Anytime. I love doing this.